Wow, what a wild and crazy time. Before this week's episode of Hustleberg, I just wanted to share with you guys something that we've started to help local businesses here in St. Pete and the surrounding cities and towns. It's called stpeteopenforbusiness.com. If you are a small business owner who is trying to let people know that you are open, if you are doing takeout delivery, if you are doing curbside, if you are online only, and you are just trying to keep the doors open for as long as you possibly can, visit us at stpeteopenforbusiness.com/open, share a little bit of information, and we'll get you added to the listing. If you're looking for businesses to support that are local to you, and you just want to know who's open and who's not, visit stpeteopenforbusiness.com. On to the show. I will be defined by your dreams, committed to my goals, yeah. Gotta do my own. Hustleberg. This podcast is all about small business in St. Petersburg, Florida, how the business owners got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleberg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle, a marketing firm where we help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustles and ditch their 9-to-5s. As the founder of a small business here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners. Lucky for you, I also like to record those conversations for you to listen to. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, because there are probably more nuggets in other episodes, both past and upcoming. It would also be great if you rate and review the episode to let us know what you got out of the conversation. If you have a question about marketing, building your brand, or operating your small business that you'd like to have answered on a Q&A episode, please visit beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcastquestion to submit it. Welcome back to Hustleberg. This is episode number 14. It is another Q&A episode. In fact, it is our second episode specific to answering your questions about Facebook. This is part of an ongoing series that we have that are platform-specific episodes. Episode number 12 was the first part of answering your questions about Facebook, and episode number 16, releasing in 2 weeks, will be an episode specific to Instagram, and we're going to be taking your questions. If you do have a question about the Instagram platform, the best way to get that answered on episode number 16, specific to Instagram, is to visit beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcastquestion. Now, on to the episode. This question comes from Connor, where he asks, is there any benefit to using Facebook stories, or should I just stick to Instagram for that? What about Facebook Live or watch parties? These are kind of confusing and seem like they could overlap, and I'm just not sure how to use them. So there is absolutely a benefit to Facebook stories. You may have noticed on Instagram, you can't swipe up unless you are paying for it via advertising or you are a mega account. But Facebook stories allow you to have all of the same features as well as a swipe up. And you've probably noticed if you are using the Instagram story features, you have the ability, if you've connected a business page on Facebook, to auto post to Facebook stories as well. I definitely discourage the auto posting because you don't have as many features. It isn't as feature rich for you if you are cross posting from one platform to the other. This also flies in the face of putting out content that has context, because generally what you're going to see is that something you say to your Instagram audience isn't necessarily going to be the same way that you say it to your Facebook audience, so you're not providing an adequate context for the communities that you've built in both places. The other benefit to Facebook stories is it is a great way to connect with the younger users on the platform. We've talked in earlier episodes about how the fastest growing demographic on Facebook are senior citizens, and so the idea of Facebook stories and utilizing Facebook stories are going to be a better way to get your content in front of the eyes of the younger users on the platform. I look at stories as a better way to promote your own content, links on your site, and promotional stuff, or short videos documenting your business in a less produced, less polished, or curated way for both Facebook and Instagram, rather than posting those same types of things in your feed as frequently. Basically, how I look at it is it breaks down to feed for brand and stories to sell. Now, that's not a hard and fast rule. That's not saying you can't ever have a me post in your feed or that you should never have a brand post in your stories. But generally, that's kind of how I segregate the content that I put out that goes there. You may have heard me talk about the interview that I listened to recently with Adam Mosseri, Instagram CEO. It was either earlier in this episode or in the other Q&A episode about Facebook, where he discussed the addition of stories as a way of giving people a behind-the-scenes glimpse, a peek into your life, business, or brand. It's a way to give insider access to what it is that you do. Now, these are things that shouldn't feel as polished or produced as some of the things, as some of the other videos that you see in the feed or some of the images that you see in your feed, and it actually shouldn't be. One of the things that we're seeing right now is a rise in engagement of authentic content over highly produced content anyway. Kind of in the same way, about a decade ago, we saw a huge rise in reality TV and competition TV over scripted TV as Survivor and a lot of those shows up to America's Got Talent, The Voice, American Idol, all of those kind of overtook the scripted television for the most part on network TV. We're seeing that kind of authentic content that doesn't have that same polish or production value as your general feed content. So if you have a good reason to live stream content, Facebook Live is a great avenue for doing so. I like that you can create an event around your business or your brand that gives your community an instant connection and interaction with you. It also gives you the opportunity to build towards it as you schedule that live and you alert your community about the upcoming Facebook Live. With these, I kind of think of Facebook Live as a souped-up version of Reddit's AMAs and other platforms' Ask Me Anythings, because you get a real-time interaction with a brand as a member of their community, and your business gets to create a deeper connection with your true fans in the community that you've created. It truly is a win-win, and if you have video content that will add value to your audience that can be live streamed, I definitely think that Facebook Live is a fantastic way to go. Now, when it comes to Watch Party, I see the same value that I do with Facebook Live in offering the instant connection to your community. In the same way that we used to call each other on the phone to watch a TV show or a movie together, even when we were in separate homes. I remember when I was in high school, friends and I would call each other and watch the same movie or call each other and watch the same TV show. Girlfriends and I would call each other where we would watch together but separately, and it was a way to connect an instant connection when you couldn't be in the same room to watch the same thing together. And I see Watch Party as bringing that same kind of feeling for instant, deeper connection to the digital space, specifically on the Facebook platform. The answer to this next question is actually pretty lengthy, just based on my notes. I want to thank John for asking, because it's definitely one that Facebook, especially new people to Facebook and using a Facebook business page, are going to have this question. I know I did when I first saw that this was something that was out there. John asks, I just noticed my page has a, quote, typically respond within an hour, end quote, notice for Messenger. I think that this is a good thing, but I also don't know how Facebook calculates it. He asks if I do, and if so, do I think that average response time really matters to potential customers? So I'm going to address the tactical aspect of this in a bit, but my answer about the importance of this public-facing metric is going to be different for different businesses. Often, that is unfortunately the answer that I have. It depends. So If you're in a fast-paced environment and customers expect that you will respond quickly and you aren't setting an expectation that you won't respond quickly, this is something to make sure you consider with your page. For example, if you're operating an auto repair shop and a potential customer wants to know if they can bring their car in today and have it repaired this afternoon, you're going to want to make sure you can reply to that person nearly immediately. This should be akin to having someone available to answer the phone, fielding incoming phone calls. Keep in mind that for many introverts or people with social anxiety, this is going to be a preferable contact method to using the telephone. In a situation where you're not in a particularly fast-paced business, where your customers need an immediate reply, I would operate this sort of similar to your personal policy when it comes to texting with acquaintances. It's not your significant other or your mom or somebody that you would need to immediately reply to. So kind of take a look at how swiftly you reply to text messages to friends and acquaintances that aren't in your inner circle. If you reply swiftly to them, and you can take the switching of tasks from what it is you're doing to answering a text message and back and forth and back and forth, go ahead, make it a priority to answer these type of messages that are coming in on your Facebook page via Messenger. The thing to think about and something to keep in mind with asynchronous communication. Everyone realizes that you can't possibly be doing what you do and responding to every inquiry that comes your way. Obviously, bigger businesses and brands will have more interaction, so the labor that they allocate to accommodate this is going to be a little bit easier to manage. The important thing to do here, and this is something that Facebook helps you in doing, is to set expectations about your response time, no matter if you are someone who is going to be able to respond quickly or if it's going to take you a little bit of time to drag yourself away or if you're going to batch the answers to some of these things. So, going back to the first part of your question is pretty easy. Facebook calculates this by measuring your response rate to private messages, all of the private messages to your page. They measure two things. The first is the percentage of messages you respond to of the ones that you receive and the speed with which you do so. For the first, you need to reply to 90% or greater to have a very responsive label on your page, no matter what the time frame is. And here's how Facebook calculates that. Your page's response rate is the percentage of messages that you and other people who manage your page respond to. A message counts towards your page's overall response rate if it's the first message a person sends your page after neither of you has sent messages for at least 24 hours. Your page's overall response rate is based on messages received in the 30 days prior to the last message that counted toward your response rate. So you have a rolling 30-day period there. For example, if it's September 6th and the last message your page received that counted was on August 30th, then your page's response rate is based on the messages that occurred from August 1st to August 30th. If your page has received fewer than 10 messages in the 30-day time span, your page's response rate will be based on the last 10 messages received. If your page has received fewer than 10 messages total, it'll be based on all messages ever received. Now, when it comes to response rate, here's what Facebook says about that. Your page's response time gives people an expectation of the amount of time it takes your page to respond to messages. A message counts towards your response time if it's a response to the first message a person sends your page after neither of you has sent messages for at least 24 hours. Your page's response time is an average of the fastest 90% of response times to messages received in the 30 days, that rolling 30-day period, prior to the last message that counted toward your response rate. For example, if it's September 6th and the last message your page received that counted was on August 30th, then your response time is going to be based on the messages that occurred in that previous 30 days. The same as we talked about with the response rate, about fewer than 10 messages in the time span or 10 messages total apply for the response rate as well. People can see your response time when they visit your page or when they open a chat with your page in Messenger. That seems like a lot and a lot of things to keep track of, but Facebook does offer a couple things to help you respond more quickly than humanly possible in a 24/7, 365 world. They have instant reply and away messages. Instant replies are set by you to be automatically sent to a received message. Usually these are something that are outlining a response time frame or thanking a community member for reaching out to your business. And you can also create an away message that's automatically sent to people who message your page when your page's messaging status is set to away. Now, when you set it to away, this can be set to match certain hours of operation. So if you're only open from this time to this time, out any messages that you receive outside of that will get the away message sent back to them. Or you can manually set it on the page yourself. Based on when you are actively engaged and are going to be able to respond to those messages. Regardless, both the automatic or instant reply and the away message need to set the expectation of what it's going to be like for the person sending you a message in terms of how quickly you are going to respond to them. The next question for this Q&A episode comes from Andre, and he asked, what is the best way to grow likes on my business page? Should I do it organically or through paid advertising? I'm on a bit of a budget, but I'd also like to escalate rather quickly, so I'd prefer organic, but I'm really not sure where to start. Andre, I have some good news. Back in Q&A episode number 4 of Hustleberg, I answered a similar question posed by Trent Smith, who is the real estate agent you heard on last week's episode, episode 11, about organic growth of all social media. I'm going to paraphrase here, but I encourage you to go back to get the full picture of it for all of your social media outlets. For Facebook, as with other platforms, the key is to be adding value to the conversation that is social media. Your Facebook page should have plenty of content before you even invite your mom or your spouse to like it. Create 10 or so posts before you launch so that visitors will have something to look at when they do visit and they can decide if they want to give you that page like. Those initial 10 posts should have a mix of content specifically for Facebook, meaning that you should have a photo or two, a video or two, links to some sources that are not you, and some status updates. These are the things that should be beyond your profile and cover photos. Your status update should be asking questions or making statements. The link should not necessarily be to things that you are putting out there. These are just things where you are adding value without any expectation that it's going to benefit you in any way other than you are adding value. All of these posts should add value to the reader, watcher, or viewer within your 5 basic topics that we've outlined in other episodes of Hustleberg. Your main business focus, 2 topics that are related to that focus, and 2 topics that show your brand has a personality. You're also going to want to make sure that you have as complete a profile as possible, filling out nearly every field that Facebook offers. The next thing you're going to want to do is make sure your personal Facebook profile has your business visible and clickable in your bio. You'll need this for the community engagement aspect of when you're helping others in your field of expertise and engaging in your 5 on a personal level. You should definitely be a part of local groups as an individual with your personal profile, not your business page. You should be a part of small business groups and industry-specific groups. And if any of these are lacking for you, whether you have a lagging business, lagging industry that isn't really using social yet, don't be afraid to create these groups. You just have to make sure that you don't make them a place where you're going to spam the community about what it is that you do. This is not about you. This is about them. Now, when it comes to tactics, you're going to invite people on your friends list to like your page slowly. Don't invite absolutely everybody all at once, and make sure you utilize the tools that Facebook has for you. Personally, I found better results when inviting people both through a notification as well as a thought-out message in Messenger, both of which are possible on the desktop version of Facebook when you are inviting people to like your page. Finally, when it comes to ads, I'm not a big fan of paying for likes because generally they are superficial and I'd prefer that they came to you for something of value that you have already offered. But if you use some targeted ads based on demographic and psychographics that are going to drive them to something you offer, that's a great way to grow your audience. They're also already getting something of value from you and they're going to be more engaged than someone who just likes your page in a drive-by. The last little bit that I would add specific to your industry is take a look at some of the conferences and events and meetings that are happening in your area or in the area where you want your business to be seen. There is a reason that people spend a ton of money sponsoring these events. You have an opportunity with Facebook via ads a day or so before the event takes place to do specific geo-targeted ads with some of those demo and psychographics that you're already using that your typical like of your page is going to be coming from, where you can advertise something of value that you're adding for them in a way that's going to benefit you and benefit them. It's going to be a very targeted, micro-targeted advertising buy. You're probably going to be able to spend $25, $50, $100 and really get some well-developed leads from people who are already interested in what it is you do because you're adding something of value for them. Hey, you did it! You've just listened to Hustleberg. To thank you for listening, we have a free guide to help you get started marketing your business online, aptly named Our Getting Started Guide, available at beyondyoursidehustle.com/get-the-guide. See how to begin with the first three things you should be doing for your business. Speaking of businesses, if you're a small business owner in St. Pete and you'd like to be a guest on an episode of the podcast, please let us know at beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast guest. If you got something of value from this episode, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app. This is something small that you can do to help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer. The music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend Rhymer Educator. You can listen to his latest single, The Last One, on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Berg.